Okay, welcome. Here we are, crowd. And the fourth introduction to tefillah, to davening, to prayer. And this is the last, the fourth and final introduction before we get to the actual topic at hand. So at this point, and this class is a little more technical, but I think it's very helpful, especially for our more beginner students. We know what we're doing. Let's review what we have. In a nutshell, we explained that the purpose of this series is to understand prayer and specifically to inject heart and feeling into the words. Okay? We know that there's this formal prayer. It sometimes is lacking. We want to inject, appreciate. The phrase I think should be appreciate the sword of the sitter. Okay? We explained how the sitter is a sword. It inherently has power, and that's true. But we want to inject even more. Imagine a warrior who knows what he's doing, who is wielding the sword in the appropriate way, how powerful that can be. So that's what we're going to try to do over the course. And the way we're going to do that is by studying the words of the prayers. But what I want to do in this session, I'll explain with an example. We live here in Philadelphia. I have a lot of family in New York, Queens, that area. It's a 2-hour drive. But not a big deal, even though New York traffic. But, I know the way. I take the New York 2 hours, not a big deal. On the other hand, if you ever go out to Scranton, okay, west, it's also northwest maybe. It's also. What?
Northwest.
Northwest. Okay. It's also about 2 hours. And somehow that trip, to me at least, always feels like it just goes and goes. You're just driving and driving and driving. What's the difference? I think the difference is, what's the difference between the same 2 hours between Scranton and Queens? The answer is that on the way to Queens, I know where I'm going. It's not a 2-hour trip. I just spend, an hour, less than an hour. I'm already, I can see the skyline, and I'm over one bridge, and then go over another bridge, and take another few minutes on whichever way I'm going, the belt or the through some other area. And then before you know it, I'm where I need to be. As opposed to here, I'm not really sure. I'm following my GPS, following it blindly, and the road just seems to go and go and go. And the point here is that in order for prayer to make sense, we have to get a little bit of a map of what it looks like. What the format is, understand the roads, and then we'll slowly inject it. And davening at its core, what it really is, when we say, for example, that we daven 3 times a day, or sometimes we daven even more than that, what we're really referring to is the core of tefillah, which is the Shemoneh Esrei. Okay, so again, this is a little bit more for our beginners, but I think there'll be something from this class that everyone can learn. The Shemoneh Esrei literally means 18. And it's called that because it's 18. It was originally 18 blessings. Later, it was a little added to. Of course, when we get there, we'll learn more about it. But it's still called the 18 blessings. Sometimes people call it the Amidah, which means the standing, because we stand when we say the prayer. And sometimes it's called like the silent prayer. It's because it's the prayer that we say quietly. That is our core davening. There are other ones, okay? Sometimes people refer to like brachos that we make, blessings that we'll make before we eat food or at other occasions after we eat food. Those are important, and I hope to get to that one day. But what we're going to start with is the tefillah and is the Shemoneh Esrei. Well, we're not going to start with the Shemoneh Esrei, but we're going to start with our regular daily davening. And that, at its core, the hamburger, is the Shemoneh Esrei. And everything else that we'll say kind of is the before Shemoneh Esrei and the after Shemoneh Esrei, like we'll explain. And as we understand it, once you get this kind of core, it's easy to build on it. Once you understand the structure, the proper structure of davening, it's easy to move along. So we'll have like when we say we daven three times a day, we mean we have these three Shmoneh Esreis. Some have a little more before, some a little more after, but at their core, they're three. When we say on Shabbos and on holidays, we daven four times, what we mean is we daven four Shmoneh Esreis. So you come to Shul Shabbos morning, even though we do, it's one service, we actually call that two davenings because there's two Shmoneh Esreis. Okay, we put two tefillos back to back. It's not about how many times you come to shul. It's about how many Shmoneh Esreis there are, that part. After, we're of course going to start with the Shacharis, with the morning, start from the beginning. Once we understand the setup, everything else will actually flow into place and it'll be much easier. It'll go quite quickly through the other services. But this is the longest one, certainly, of all of them. Let me mention something. One of the goals is interesting. I don't know if I mentioned this, but after one of the classes, when we spoke about what you're supposed to wear by davening, I got a lot of feedback questioning about what are the laws of what you're supposed to wear by prayer. Are there laws? What are the suggestions? What are those customs that I was talking about? And it made me think that, yeah, maybe that's something we should focus on. Maybe we'll do a separate class on. Not sure how to proceed on it, but occasionally, you know, what my goal is, this is a very practical guide to tefillah, so it's going to be a lot of how-to, and if there's Jewish law saying, there's halacha saying how to say that prayer, especially when that is connected to the hashkafa, the philosophy of the prayer, which it almost always is, we will learn that. So one of the important parts, I don't think I ever mentioned this, is that all prayer, although it's at its core self-reflection, connection, and a lot of avodah shebalev, work of the heart, davening is supposed to be said out loud. You are supposed to say the words. The idea of saying it quietly is learned from an interesting story, a story of Chana. A lot of the laws and concepts of prayer are learned from women. They are our teachers when it comes to davening for various reasons. But there was a woman by the name of Chana that when she was praying, she seems to have been the first one to pray silently. And so when the Torah leader there, Eli HaKohen, saw her praying quietly, he thought that she was drunk because she seemed to be just talking to herself. And she explained that she's not drunk, she's just an embittered woman. She didn't have children at the time. She later, her prayers were answered. Of course, she had the great Shmuel, who was a great prophet, and we learn a lot from him. But that was the prayer. So there is a concept of saying the prayer quietly, but you are supposed to say it. So let me just explain those two ideas a second. The reason why we say it out loud, why do we say it? If the main point is what's going on in your heart, why do we say it out loud? So there's multiple reasons, but let's just use a very rational reason. If we understand it, it's a point of connection and a point of self-reflection. Whatever we're trying to accomplish by davening, so long as that it's in our mind, it's not as concrete and it hasn't come out into the world. And if what we're doing while we're davening is we're turning to Hashem and say, you're the master of all, you can change anything. I want to be a better person, right? How we were discussing what I'm trying to do by prayer. As long as that never came out of my mouth, it's not so binding. And when I can actually utter it, that's really what we're trying to accomplish. That forces me to say it. You know, sometimes you'll make a commitment to yourself. I want to start a diet. I want to give charity. When it's in our mind, sometimes we question ourselves a few minutes. Did I actually say that? Did I actually think that? I'm not even sure. I was still vacillating. I was still going at different points. But when you really, on a deeper level, our thoughts are always infinite. They're always flying all over the place. And when we put it into actual words, that's a finite amount of words. That's a very specific amount of words. And therefore, that's binding. And so it's very important that we do say the words. Now, why do we say it quietly? That's because it connects back to the relationship idea. This is a very intimate discussion that we're having with one being and one being only. It's not for public. And so we discuss this very private matter, and we understand that we have this attention. I guess it kind of feeds back into what we were discussing last week. It's so hard to realize that we're talking to Hashem. When you talk out loud, you almost feel like maybe I'm talking for everyone around me so they can hear me. And when you talk quietly, you understand that I'm really just talking to Hashem, and it helps you realize that a little bit more. So we're saying the words, but we're saying it very quietly that only we ourselves can hear it. Okay. So an important idea. So again, we're saying the core of this is Shemona Esrei. Everything that gets us to there is a preparation and what they call in podcast world, intros and outros, right? Getting there and getting out of there. There's a beautiful piece from Rav Schwab in his introduction to his book on prayer, where he compares davening to walking into the Beis HaMikdash. And for those of you who don't know what the Beis HaMikdash looked like, right, what was on Temple Mount, where the Western Wall is today, but there used to be, of course, the whole temple over there. And I guess you could picture it almost like a palace of somebody coming into the king, has to take many steps and many passages in order to get to that final place. So when a person would walk into the Beis HaMikdash, it would be similar, where we would slowly go in to a more and more inner place and more holy place. And he does something very cool where he connects actually different steps in the morning prayer to our entrance into the Beis HaMikdash. So for example, he says when you were to come from one courtyard to another, there was a break of 15 steps. He says this corresponds to the 15 blessings that we'll learn about, the Berachas HaShachar, okay, the morning blessings. He said then is of course the Mizbeach. Soon after that is the Mizbeach, which is where they brought karbanos, and that's why in the morning prayer we say the karbanos. He said soon after that is the 13 steps to get into the Heichal. I know I'm using a lot of Hebrew. I'll summarize this all in English in a second. And he says that corresponds to the paragraph of Rabbi Shmuel, where we say the 13 midos. And he goes on, and it really says how each step of davening, let me summarize again in English, not so important all the different parts of prayer that we're going to learn about and parts of the Beis HaMikdash that maybe in a different series we'll learn about. But the point is you're in this structure, in this building, slowly getting closer and closer and further inside through the prayer. And you're really going on a journey and you're traveling to where? So in the Beis HaMikdash, in the temple, it would be the Kodesh HaKadosh and the Holy of Holies. And in our world, it's coming right before Hashem. Yes, we're not physically moving, but we're kind of emotionally, mentally, spiritually moving through the different chambers till we come right before Hashem and have a personal conversation, a one-on-one meeting with the King of all Kings. That is what we're trying to do. Now, if somebody really goes through that whole activity, you know, for most of us, we kind of imagine, okay, you got there, now leave. But it's kind of hard. If you really put all the work into getting there, you should be at a state that it's hard to just like go about and play baseball or go and start, you know, go to work. So you have to slowly step your way out. And that's certainly the respectful way when a person goes into a king or a great person to step out slowly and, you know, with reverence and honor. So that is what we do through the different steps that come after the Shemona Esrei. This is the basic idea. There's certainly a lot more there, but as we're traveling, our Shemona Esrei, that's what we have to view. That's our hamburger. That's what we're trying to get to. That's the middle of it, and we're moving our way into that, slowly preparing ourselves. Now, if you don't do this every time, so then come to these classes so you understand how we're doing that. We're preparing ourselves to talk to Hashem during Shemona Esrei. Of course, the whole time we're talking to Him, but having that private audience and then getting out of that. And that's why actually it's important. The word Siddur means order, because there is a specific order that we're supposed to say it in. Of course, you know, there are different laws if a person doesn't have enough time, but ideally you're supposed to say all the prayers in the order that they're written in, because it's just like this guy coming into the palace. It wouldn't make sense. You got to start from the outermost door to the courtyard to the inner door through the Beis HaMikdash. You cannot jump around. It wouldn't work. And so for ourselves also, that is how our davening should work. And we are ready to actually begin on the first stage of davening next week. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for listening. For questions, comments, and sponsorship opportunities, please email us at rabbilindenbaum@gmail.com. We'll see you next week.